on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day Rugby League fans. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show covering all things Rugby League across the globe. The Formia is in the house tonight. Leon is back from his holidays.
Hello.
He's still on holiday. Where's the energy?
You know what I like? He's brought a nice little tash back from his holiday as well. He's got a little...
It's a French tash.
Yeah, it's a little French
South
tash
of France,
going
French
on.
French tash.
Why folk coming away near me? Thank God.
It's a tickler. And as you heard, Luke Robinson is in the house.
Yeah, yo.
That's actually the most energy we've ever got from you ever, Robbo. Okay, loads going on today. Bulls going into administration. England getting knocked out of the Four Nations. Players coming and going. It's all on this evening. So let's get rumbling. Ready to rumble. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Look, before we go any further, Leon, how was your holidays? I got to admit, 2 weeks ago, you sat in that seat there talking to us about how we were actually pointing the finger at Robbo because Robbo had come back with his permatan and he actually hadn't seen his kid for 3 weeks because he was on all these holidays. Well, and you were playing that, I'm not going on holidays. Next minute, the next day, gone.
I'll be completely honest with you, but we're in a bad place that day. I'd had enough. I've been a house husband. I'd been doing all the house chores for 5 weeks. Bear in mind, I've not done it in 18 years of being with my partner. And
your wife?
Yeah, I'd had enough. So anyway, we decided to go see my wife's sister in France. She just had a little baby girl, and it rained.
Oh, congratulations!
It went for 5 days. It torrentially rained for 5 days, non-stop, solid.
But, the sun's low, right?
Yeah. But we had
in
a nice
the south
time.
Of France. Where in the south of France?
No, it's near Biarritz.
Biarritz, right?
Yeah. So we had a nice time anyway. We had a nice getaway.
Loads of vino.
A couple of glasses, yeah.
$1 million question, the £1 million question. When we're in England, £1 million question: did she name your niece Leona?
Oh, whose niece?
My Your niece. Brand new niece. Was it named Leona?
Stupid. Isabella Faith. That's her name.
Well, that's disappointing. Did you at least push it in
it's
there?
It's Carly's sister, isn't it? Come on, it's not my sister.
So everyone I come into contact with that's having a child, I always say, Roberta's a good name. Robert, Robbie.
Roberto Duran had four boys and called every one of them Roberto.
Oh, that's so cool.
That must be a boxing thing. Yeah,
it's class.
Who's the other one? What is it, Grill? George Foreman?
Yeah, they're all Georgina's and George's,
yeah,
aren't
they?
Oh, Mr. Tricky. I tried that with my wife and she was having none of it. She said something to the extent of it's like inbred or something. Yeah. And I said, well, I am from New Zealand. All right, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Bulls are back in administration. Actually, RFL have just put out a statement on behalf of the Bradford Bulls. This was put on the club's website. It was an announcement from club chairman Mark Green this week. There has been a dispute between ourselves, and this is the quote itself. There's been a dispute between ourselves and HMRC, which we have been working hard to resolve since the winding up petition was issued. And despite two adjournments from the courts to resolve the matter, we have been unable to do so. We are concerned over the ability to secure a third adjournment, and therefore this action has become unavoidable to protect the club. He does later on go on to say at the back end of that comment, I'll be working closely with the administrators over the coming weeks, and it is my intention to regain the club from them within the shortest practicable time frame. Now that's interesting because RFL statement on the Bradford Bulls, which come out at 5:30 this afternoon, as is normal, I'll read the opening two paragraphs. As is normal, when a club enters administration, the RFL board has today terminated Bradford Bulls Northern Limited's membership of the RFL. And I think that's the important part because in regards to Mark Green saying that he will be collecting or trying to regain the club from them within the shortest time practicable, the RFL have confirmed that they have cancelled the licence. There may be trouble ahead. Hey, what are your thoughts on that? It's strong words from the RFL. We've been less than, 3 days in regard to this administration, and they've come out directly and said, well, the licence is cancelled. I'll just go on to say the second paragraph states, RFL's discussion with the appointed administrators about their plans for the future of the club. The RFL board will then consider any proposals put forward by the administrators to secure the future of the club. It says members and the conditions of any membership of the RFL is then entirely at the discretion of the RFL board. It finishes with the last paragraph. This is clearly a distressing time for supporters, players and employees of the Bradford Bulls. We will aim to keep them updated of any progress as and when we can. I'm guessing, Leon, you've not heard anything from the governing body as a player in regards to any of this?
No. I think the administrators are coming in on Friday to talk. So,
okay.
Obviously, as a player, it's probably I can't say too much at the moment. I don't need to give too many opinions out.
Yes.
I just can't say too much really. Obviously, because I'm employed by the Bradford Bulls, or I were.
you still are.
Well, I hope so.
It's just in the hands of the administrator.
Friday we find out what's going on.
Okay, so the administrators effectively they will come in and they will. Make a decision on how the club is going to move forward in regards to it's a bit of a nicky one. This isn't like normal administrations when it comes to sports clubs, because obviously the sports club can't function without the sport. So there's for administrators, it's a bit of a messy one, because they come in, they do a review of all the resources within the organisation, and whoever is the then start to work with the creditors as to where those resources are going to be split. But in regards to a sports club that's associated with a licensed, in effect, a professional organisation like the RFL, they then have to also take into account where their thoughts, because there is no sports club, there's nothing to sell or move on without the licence. Interestingly, as part of their conversation, as part of their press release, the RFL puts in addition, as part of the conditions of any membership, the RFL board would then determine the appropriate sporting sanction, which could include a points deduction or possible relegation.
Yeah, and I think this puts the rugby league, us as a sport, and I say us because at the end of the day, we are not a sport that can survive. The game can't survive in this country if the likes of Bradford going non-existent. We need a strong Bradford, and although you get opposition fans and things, Con, I know it's a little bit tribal and saying
a little bit tribal. This is the most tribal country on the planet.
Very tribal, and you get opposition fans saying the RFL are lenient. It's only because it's Bradford they're trying to keep them afloat and blah blah blah. You know, buying the stadium and everything that's gone along. There's going to be that angle again because they're going to say that Bradford have to stamp down him. They have to punish him accordingly because this isn't the first time it's happened. But for me, just being a rugby league fan in general, is we need every club we can doing well. And the RFL, they're in a really precarious situation, I think, because they're going to have to show to everybody else within the sport that it's not on and you need to run your club right, manage it right. But at the same time, if they go too hard on them, we lose one of us. Let's be honest. One of the heart clubs, you know, it's one of the main clubs in this competition, and I mean the competition, rugby league in this country.
I mean, the Bradford Bulls in the heyday, right back at the beginning of the Super League era, were the benchmark. They were the measuring stick.
But it's not even that. They still are. The amount of amateur clubs that are in and around this area, the amount of fans that go to Bradford anyway, even though they're the most well-supported club in the Championship. Which is amazing, and I know from my hometown club Halifax's point of view, they're diehard fans.
This year they had more fans than I think a third of the Super League clubs.
Which is amazing, and I know that Halifax diehard fans were wanting bad stuff to happen to Bradford. But let's
always,
be fair.
They always have done.
But for me, you know, even though I'm an Halifax boy, you know, obviously I want them to do well. I just think for the sport in general, for rugby league, I want every club to strive and be successful. And the rugby league needs to help Bradford.
I think speaking, obviously, I can only say so much, but speaking as a Bradford lad, as a Bradford fan, and looking in from the outside last year, I think people want to know how it's happened again. So we've obviously got the situation with the tax, and we've also got to look at where we finished in the season. I think as a club, I think as I can read of it, we budgeted to make the top four, at least make the playoffs, and we didn't do that. So when you budget to make the playoffs and you kind of guarantee within your club that you're pushing to make playoffs...
It's a gamble, though, isn't it?
It's a gamble. It's a gamble that didn't pay off, and it's probably left us in this situation now. I think not making the top four has kind of had massive effect and kind of left us where we are at the moment.
It's a bit of a tough situation for the RFL on another extent as well, because obviously they've cancelled the Bradford Bulls Northern Limited's licence. What happens then is they've got to make it... at least a little bit attractive for someone else to come in and take over the responsibilities of running the club. And I think if there's a 12-point deduction, if they're kicked out of the league right down to another lower league, then that doesn't make it look that attractive, even with all the supporters and all the fans, because effectively, do those supporters want to come out and watch that low level? Well, there is a trip to Toronto, though.
Yeah, great. Leon,
you'd enjoy that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, fantastic.
5-hour flight. You're used to that 2-hour flight to France.
Oh, gosh. I really, really hope it doesn't come to that. I think, you know, that would just be the last kick in the teeth for the fans and for the club. So, gosh, I really, really hope it doesn't come to that.
Well, we're going to have to see how this unfolds and plays out over the next few weeks. Generally, administrations are tried to be wrapped up and move pretty quickly through. I think there's about a month sort of time frame that they like to put on these things.
Can I just know
that the players have to get functioning moving forward also.
Sorry for bumping in, Robbie. I think you're a very clever man.
Why is that?
You must have seen this. You must have known the ship was sinking. You left Bradford Bulls, what, 2 months ago?
3 months ago.
Could you see the future?
No, well, I'm sure there were signs, but this is a financial thing, and that wasn't my department.
Did you just whisper, this is happening because they let me go? Yeah. That's why you just mouthed that to me. They shouldn't let me go.
Oh, I tell you what, you put some pressure on
me. I know, he's like sweating there. Come on, Rob, I'm only joking. Chill out, man. Jesus.
Okay, we're going to go to a break now, a perfectly timed break. Just on that note, when we come back, we'll be pulling apart England's international Four Nations debacle. All that and more after the break. Stick with us right here on Pulse One.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the RHP Show, looking at all the sport's hottest topics. We've just been discussing Bradford. We're now moving on to the England international team. All right, you boys, England had a great opportunity. New Zealand had a bit of a shocker up in Workington. Against Scotland. I'll take my hat off to Scotland. They did play well. I was on the BBC earlier before that talking about what New Zealand would be doing. I said openly, they would learn the lessons from England, becoming out playing 100% professional, take it to Scotland, show them the respect they deserve and put all the pressure. Scotland turned up. New Zealand weren't even there. Got to admit, one of the coldest, most freezing days I've ever experienced in this country, and I've experienced a few of those, but both teams were playing. Quite a few excuses from New Zealand camp. They're going to get it right this week. But back onto the England match, Sunday's afternoon's game. Come on, boys, give me your thoughts on that. I'll start with you, Robbo. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm just going to keep it really, really simple. Whether you're playing down at Siddle, at Berkenshaw, or wherever, Wibsey, if you miss kicking the ball to touch, you are in trouble. It's a bit of a telltale sign. Whatever level you play at, when you start doing that, not only once, but twice, you're pretty much, you're doomed. And never mind when you're playing against the best players in the world. Do you know what I mean?
Wayne Bennett mentioned that as a part of the problem. He said that the boys, they were not able to create continued pressure. And the example of that was finding touch and those two key moments. Right, I think the first one happened in the first half, right when England were sort of in that warm period. They just turned around a defensive set, got the penalty, and could have gone down and put pressure on Australia. And in the second half, again, just after half time, getting a little bit of momentum behind them, and Josh Hodgson doesn't find touch. Coach killers.
Yeah, well, I'm a big believer in, look, it's not about always what happens to you, what you do, it's how you react to it. Because things go wrong in games, you drop balls, you make mistakes, you know, human errors. Obviously, you've got to take that into account. And I'm a big believer in whatever you do as a team and individual, it's about how you react to it. So if you drop a ball, how do you react? You miss touch, how do you react? When you're making mistakes continually, though, consistently, that's when it hurts. Because, look, pressure hurts, sustained pressure kills, and that's the problem for England. They're just continually putting pressure upon themselves by missing touch. You can maybe do it once, but not twice.
When you have a team like Australia that plays a game of attrition against you, they play the numbers, they play the statistics, and then have the personnel that actually can play off the cuff and take those opportunities when those moments arise, that's when you lose, isn't it? That's when you sustainly lose.
And that's what it was. You know what? For me as well, the biggest thing is the halfbacks. I've been speaking to Danny Ruff this week when he played him at Scotland. He just said, they do not miss opportunities. If you see Cooper Cronk, he hides behind the back of the ruck. He sees a late man back on the left, England's left there, right? He creates three and on moves. Two. Boom, moves late. He just says, them opportunities arise throughout a game, but they only come now and again. You might take one, you might miss one. He says, the Austrians do not miss opportunities. And
the Austrians?
Australians, and I just think well, it could have been Austrians and probably beat us, actually. But yeah, he just said the nines, seven, six. Well, really good.
The nines out of this world, isn't
he? He is, obviously. Unbelievable.
That game was unbelievable.
He was my man of the match. Yeah, even though Cooper Cronk was given the man of the match, he was actually my man of the match because you could just see him orchestrating out there.
He's unbelievable.
He is sexy, man.
But from my opinion on the game, Robbie, I think in Super League, we have a style of quite a lot of ablib rugby. We play the ball. We play a lot more rugby, a lot more open rugby than they do in the NRL.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more attractive to watch, but does that kind of system and them kind of errors win when it comes to real crunch matches? Probably not. In the NRL, week in, week out, they have a system that wins. It's quite boring. It's about grinding rugby, kicking for space, kicking early, defensive. It's a defensive game. It's a very defensive, structured game. And I think we try to take them on at a structured game. We try to take them on in the grind. You're not going to beat the best team in the world in a grind and trying to keep them down. You could see when we kicked the ball onto their try line and they started on the try line, trying to get off their try line, we maintained a bit of pressure for two to three tackles. Then they slowly got over the line. They kicked. Mm. They kicked nice. They chased well. And they got into the grind. And when they tackled us, we couldn't get out of our half. Our kick back to them was going high. Full out, catch it on the full. Time you know, at the starting on the halfway line, and they're on the front foot.
All right, on that then, Wayne Bennett is laying blame of Sunday's performance firmly at the feet of the players and their mentality. And I think what we're talking about here is that psychological approach to the game. Let me just pull out a couple of his quotes. He said, "The problems are insurmountable if they don't have a change of attitude and buy into what I want and what I know works. If they do not recognise what is beating them and change their attitude, the physical behaviour and physical behaviour on the field, we all know what will happen, and I'll find out next year when I watch the players."
And that's what I'm saying. What I'm trying to get to is, in Super League, we can make an error. We can kick to touch and not make it. And if you're good enough, you've got a good team, you will win. If you can make two or three errors and you've got a good team, you'll win. In the NRL, no matter, every team can beat each other. When you miss touch, you pay for it. When you miss tackle, when you make errors.
Importantly, though, I think one of the points that he makes out later on in this article, he says they've got an advantage, they being Australia, because they learn how to play like that in that environment, that intensity. We need to play more internationals. We need to play Australia and the Kiwis more so we can hone our skills. There's only so much you can do in training, which all three of us know. There's nothing compares actually on the field, in the game type of timing, combination time. Interesting fact. Cooper Cronk, Cameron Smith, Jonathan Thurston, Darius Boyd, which make up the spine of their team. That's your hooker and Smith, Cronk and Thurston in your halves, fullback Darius Boyd, all play for Queensland.
And probably played, 20, 30 games together, might be more.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And you know what?
Complement one another. You've got Boyd, Cronk, Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith are the core halves for Melbourne's team.
Play week in, week out together.
Week in, week out.
And before them, they had the exact same. They've had the same thing going on, mate, for about 8 years. Before that, they had Billy Slater and Darren Lockyer, all the Brisbane team. Brisbane team. So this is not something new. This is something they've had for a while.
And the game that they played against New Zealand the week before, they didn't have Cooper Cronk in there. So if you have the luxury of not playing Cooper Cronk, and you have that strength and depth, and you had Michael Morgan in there instead of him, who's Jonathan Thurston's halfback partner as North Queensland. So you still got that rhythm going.
I don't know why we're so surprised that we've lost, really. Well, this is something that's not changed for a long time, is it?
Here's another interesting fact. New Zealand Warriors, Isaac Luke, Sean Johnson, Kieran Foran and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, that's the spine of the New Zealand Warriors. They'll play every game next year together leading up to their World Cup. So how do we get around that? How do we fix it? We're not going to have all the players playing in the state of origin. How do we fix it?
Why don't we make our own state of origin, something called, I know it's revolutionary. Yorkshire versus Lancashire. I know that that's nuts. It's crazy, a crazy concept. Do you know what they said about it? And when you look through the history of the origin, it wasn't the massive success juggernaut thing that is at this moment in time. It slowly became
okay.
that.
Okay, look, I'm going to pull you. I'm going to pull you back there. Rob, I was going to say something else there. I'm going to pull you back there. I'm going to come back to this exact point when we come back after the break. So stick with us. We're going to be talking what's our answer to State of Origin and getting these combinations playing together. All that and more after the break. Stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
There's more at pulsewan.co.uk.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the General Luke Robinson. Now, we've just been having a bit of a laugh because our mate down at the TNA, Ross Heppenstall, has been trying to throw Leon in the deep end, actually.
I'll try to throw him under the bus.
Yeah, trying to throw you under the bus.
What an absolute joke he is. I'll give you a story. When I was in France, he texted me and said, can I ring you, Leon, and do you an interview about when you played last time to England, Great Britain, beat Australia? I said, no problem. You know, I was on holiday with my family. It took me, 10, 15 minutes out of my time to speak to him. And you know, this is how he repays me. Try to throw me in the bus.
Okay,
cheers, Ross.
Okay.
Nice one, Ross.
I think
he
likes to have a bit of a laugh. We'll speak to you soon, Ross. I'm sure we will. Leon was just having a joke, ladies and gentlemen, by the fact of saying sinking ship. Actually, there's a great opportunity there by just listen to the show. Ewan will download it later on if you haven't heard it, and you'll see we're having a bit of a laugh on here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're just on that point of talking about a reinvention of and reintroduction of War of the Roses.
Yeah, of course. Like as we spoke previous, Origin didn't just become an overnight success. I think a few brawls actually created, you know, like sort of boosted its profile. For me, in this country, I know I say it over and over again, we don't give things longevity. We just seem to throw something into an app, pick it out. Oh, we'll do this year.
I.e. the Exiles. Back, Leon, you played in the War of the Roses series. What years were those?
Oh, 2001, 2003, yeah. somewhere around there. But
only ran for a couple of years, didn't
they? Yeah, like Robbo was saying, they didn't start off anything real big. There was no real atmosphere or real tension, but it was something that we could have grown on. The fans could have got into, and over time, it's how you build a tradition, it's how you build a competition.
How you build identity also. Exactly. I think that's important. Actually, one thing that it's shown me, this Four Nations Test Series, is the fact that everybody still really has a massive identity with their own clubs directly, but there's not really that identity with England Rugby League as a nation, which is kind of weird for me because obviously everybody, the majority of our Rugby League supporters in this country are English, but the atmosphere in the stadium wasn't as thick as it ever is at Super League level. Now, build on that. That gives you a good example of kind of what we're talking about in the respect of building a foundation in regards to the War of the Roses to get that level of competition. And maybe it should be made clear to the players that this is your trial. This War of the Roses game, or this is your trial to get into England.
Get to England, yeah, that'd be good.
Or maybe we don't use a War of the Roses trial. We use a probables and a possibles or a Prime Minister's 13 versus, you know, but we make it very clear that this is a trial game. How you perform in this game will determine whether or not you play international rugby league at the back end of the season. From that State of Origin or War of the Roses game, it effectively states who will be in that train on squad.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Robbie. I 100% agree with you, but I think at this moment in time as well, whilst we have Bennett in charge, it's a very much NRL-based kind of selection. So you could be playing in them games, playing your heart out, playing fantastic, but at the same time, the players that are playing in RL, if they're playing well, will be picked ahead of you. So that could become quite demoralising for somebody like Scott Taylor, I don't know, the back rowers that maybe play. You know, at the end of the day, we've seen it this year, the guys that play in RL have definitely had the upper hand on the rest of the players, 100%.
But at least it gives you an opportunity to get into their train-on squad.
I agree with you, 100%.
Which gets your foot in the door. And I think you're getting your foot in the door is hugely important,
I'm just saying it would be nice if kind of like in the NRL, I know we haven't got this luxury, but if the guys that play well in State of Origin, usually the guys, well, they are the guys that get picked for Australia. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, I think it could be quite demoralising. If you killed it playing for Yorkshire against Lancashire and you still don't get in because you're not playing in RL, it could become quite demoralising. Well, which would happen at this moment in time.
I also think it's a good thing. I think it plays in the fact what you said earlier, that we're trying to create an intense game or games where you miss to touch, you miss a kick to touch, it punishes you. And I think if all of a sudden you did say, look, this is going to decide whether you're playing for England or not, I think the intensity level will go up through the roof.
I think on what you were saying, Leon, Danny Helton maybe is an example of actually that kind of already happened, Man of Steel, and yet you still
that was my point. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. No. I completely agree with you. I'm just trying to put it on a different angle.
I think this comes back to the original conversation point in which we started on, was the how do we create an intensity level of sustained pressure where players expect to compete at a certain level. So when it gets to these bigger games, when it gets to these crunch moments where it's a do or die game, must win or must draw, as it was on Sunday performance, how do we create that mentality?
But at the same time, Robbie, come on, got to think about it. How many players did we have playing in that team that's playing in RL week in, week out, and have been for the last year or so, maybe more?
Some, at the highest level.
At the highest levels. At the Burgess boys, we had Hodgson, Elliot Whitehead, just to name a few, isn't it more? Not too sure. Cooper, who played quite a few games. So, James Graham. So we had a good 6 to 7 players who have played the full year against them players in the NRL, who I believe in themselves and don't doubt themselves and are used to that structure and used to playing that
yeah, but
grind
I think
football.
The evidence is in how they performed.
I'm not going to lie, and I'm probably bagging myself here, I'm probably bagging a little bit early on. They're 9-1-7-6 are phenomenal. They are phenomenal. Burgess, class. James Graham, class. We produce really good forwards. Their spine of their team that play together week in, week out, or at least within the Origin series, are the best sort of people in the world. They're the best players in the world. And I just think that's probably what sets them apart from us.
Yeah, I mean, I think we did see, it was evident that Wayne Bennett was playing around with the halves combinations all the way up until that final game. Kevin Brown, who had only played in the game against France, then gets put in the starting lineup. So, I mean, he states it himself, this is about the World Cup. This is about preparing for the World Cup. And I understand that. He's been given an objective. Get this team to win the World Cup. And that's his focus. And for me, I could see that with the combination and the way he was playing people throughout this tournament. The focus wasn't about Anfield. I know from a patriotic point of view, you say, I want to win every single game. But you can't. He's thinking, I want to win that game. I want to win that final, which happens to come along a year and a half away. Now, I just want to go back into another part about the mentality. Trying to put the weight right back on the players' toes and saying that they need to get up to speed, because he will not have time to do that himself, because he has his own job with the Brisbane Broncos. The onus is on them. They have a whole season in front of them to make those changes psychologically. That there was that argument that he was having with Mal Meninga. Mal Meninga's point that he was saying to Wayne Bennett was, you couldn't do my job. You couldn't do this job as Australian coach because you are Brisbane Broncos coach. So you couldn't do my job. The international coach's job is a lot more holistic. There's an argument to look at whether or not the England coach really should be a full-time role.
Well,
you've
tricky
got,
one.
You got to change that mentality. If you're going to change that mentality, that means you've got to work with those players.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you can create a new culture by being with the players. He's on about having a week camp. I think he's in Dubai next year.
First of January.
He wanted 2 weeks, but they agreed to
they
a
agreed
week.
A week.
First of January.
He gets the England,
first of January. Yep. That's very early.
He gets the England team for a week in Dubai. He's then going to maybe get a mid-season for a little bit, maybe, possibly. That's really difficult to create a culture and a different mindset when you're only literally dropping in, dropping out. And I'm with you. I think it needs to be full-time, hands-on. Actually, over here watching week in, week out Super League games and working out what players are good at.
Maybe watching the games, going into the clubs, having a word with the players, speaking to them, doing video with them, constantly here. Maybe, you know.
And that's what you want.
If you want to change, you've got to be here to change.
Well, or have representatives that are doing that for you. And yes. I think that's important.
I think
the,
he has
the
got
camps
that.
And the opportunities that come along the season, I think, need to be reviewed. But we've discussed quite openly on this show about the amount of games that the players already play throughout the length, the duration of a season. They play three more games than they did in this new structure than they used to per season. We're now discussing adding another game of the highest order. If we look at a War of the Roses match and everyone does get that buy-in, would it be one game? Would it not need to be a three-game series?
Well, it's tricky in this country because obviously we don't have the funds that the NRL have. So what happens is clubs to survive, like the likes of Huddersfield and as Bradford, as we spoke about, we need games. They need games. They need people coming through the terraces to create a revenue. The problem with that is you then kind of, the players start, and I know I'm looking, you know, my dad would probably complain because he thinks that it's an easy job being a rugby player compared to what he does, but it does take it out
it
of
it. It is.
Yeah, it probably is.
It's a different type of hard, though.
When he's sheet metal working, getting blisters in his eye, shards in his eyes, blisters on his fingers, but it does take it out when you're playing every single week, probably 10 more games than NRL players play. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the back end internationals, they look a bit fresher than us.
Yeah.
They just look fresher, and that's because they don't play as many games.
That's right, that's right. I got to agree with you there. All right, we're going to go to another break. Now, when we come back, last week we were promoting Luke Robinson's Bear Keller this Saturday. If you want to get tickets, just go on at @LukeRobinson_9.
Yep.
On Twitter, and you can access how you can get those tickets off Luke for this Saturday's event. So last week we were promoting a ticket giveaway, 6 tickets, and we'll be reading out the winner of those 6 tickets after the break. So stick with us. We're going to be talking more International Rugby League as well as the upcoming Four Nations final this weekend at Anfield. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show. We're continuing on with discussing all things Four Nations. I got in there. We've been chatting off there. We didn't even know we were coming. I've thrown their headphones back on me.
Ed's gone. Leon's head's gone. It's fully fired up.
Okay, my headphones are on the right way now. We're back with you. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we doing here? What show is this? What are we doing? Rugby League. Come on. Oh, actually, before we go any further, we're going to read out the winner for Robbo's Bear Keller, his tickets for Saturday night's event. And we've thrown a dart. It's landed on James McKinnon.
Woo.
I'm supposed to do that before I read out the name, aren't I? I think James contacted Robbo at JamesMcKinnon97, I think, is his Twitter handle. So congratulations, James. You're going to have 6, count them, 6 tickets to Robbo's event. Go and hang out and get socially lubricated with a bunch of old rugby players.
Bring some big drinkers, Matt.
Bring your pals, buddy. Bring some big drinkers. Keep Robbie in Robbo in a job. Just a quick shout out also to Dominic Moore, who's listening to us from his hospital bed. Love you, Dom. Miss you, Dom. Actually, I just went to a rugby match, my first ever football match with Dom about 4 weeks ago. It was absolutely rubbish, Dom, and I'm blaming you. All right, so we were talking about the Four Nations. War of the Roses.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, what is
the
it?
Final.
With you?
What about the final this weekend?
No, we'll get to that. What about you, England? All your England teams are coached by Aussies.
Go on.
Cricket, rugby union, Eddie Jones. Cricket, Trevor Bayliss. Football coach. I've been told that that Harry Kewell's going to get the job. Watford under 21s.
I hate Aussies as well.
hate's a bad word. You've got loads of Aussie mates.
After we did that one, though, I've got the Bondi thing. Everybody thinks, oh, God.
Ross might tweet it.
Is it joking? I'll be serious. Is it joking? I'll be serious.
Leon Price hates
Australians. I've got loads of Aussie mates. But
isn't your coach an Aussie?
Hey?
Isn't your coach an Aussie?
Yeah, I don't like him either. It's a joke.
No, he's been in England a long time, though, hasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, Ron. No,
6 months.
I was like, no.
Well, he came with a year when he was a kid.
He was down in London for ages. He was down when he was a kid, he told me. Then he said he was down in London.
When you play sport and you're English and you're proud to be English, we just don't like the Aussies. Not that we don't like them as people.
No, we don't like them as sport. Sport. It's a Kiwi Aussie thing.
Yeah. Not them as people.
I do the after dinner circuit, and I got to say, the Aussie jokes I do always engages with every audience across the width and breadth of this country. They absolutely love taking the mick out of the Aussies.
Good.
So that's why we do it. We love you Aussies, really. We'll get in the trenches with you, but on the football pitch, on the rugby pitch, that's it. We're done. We want nothing to do with you. All right, big Sam steadfast at England, not going backwards. Sometimes you got to. It seems that you're taking a step backwards to move forwards, but he's steadfast, and I've got faith in Big Sam. Sean Wayne wants to be an England coach, but not sure he'll get the chance. We're talking about this, so in the respect of shouldn't the coach be here to, you know, to change that mentality of those players? And one thing that everyone always talks about, the Wigan culture and the Wigan mentality and the expectation to win, and, you know, that's bred into those Wigan players, which you would argue Sean Wayne extols those values and virtues.
Yeah, I think he does. And, you know, I think it's slightly different role, me being an international coach as it is being a club coach. I think the club, you can be very, you know, you don't have to be much of a motivator. Whereas I think when you're an England international coach, you have to be able to motivate players. Mm-hmm. You only get them for a certain number of weeks throughout the year. When you're a club coach, you can really sort of go into the intricacies of the game and you can mould the player how you want. When you're an international coach, you only have them for a limited time. It's a little bit like what you've got is what you've got. You just need to do the best with them in that short period of time. So I think being an England coach or any international coach, motivation is a massive factor. You have to be able to motivate players. And I think Sean Wayne, you know, he seems to be able to do that at Wigan.
He does. But, you know, I think the important part of it also is creating that motivation that's there 100% of the time, not just when you get to training. That sort of cockiness, that sort of confidence, that strut that you walk about, that you're completely confident and comfortable in your own skin no matter who you go up against. And maybe, you know, Leon's point of there being six or seven NRL strike weapons within those English ranks, it might have the impact that actually they didn't have the confidence in the guys around them. We don't know. I mean, obviously, outwardly, you'd always say, yeah, we've got the confidence. Publicly, you're always going to put that front on. But actually, it's that sort of culture and belief is bred into you. Okay, so let's have a little bit of a look at the game coming up this weekend. Bravehearts' performance against New Zealand last weekend was absolutely brilliant. Robbo, your man Danny Brough, he brilliantly managed the game against New Zealand, especially in that second half. They had the wind was horrendous coming from the ocean straight down the park, but he just kept turning New Zealand around. I got to admit, Jesse Bromwich put his head out of the out of the changing room at halftime, looked at the weather, and thought, oh God, not again. And they were up for it. The packed working tent, the house was absolutely packed, and every single one of those Cumbrians had become Scottish for a day.
And it turns out, Ruffy, I think he was playing definitely injured. I think he's tore his pec, he's done his ankle, I think he's done the lot.
Oh, he was busted. No, he looked like a broken man afterwards.
It's operation time. I think he's busted, I think. So he's going to be out for a little while, which is not good for us. But do you know what? It once happened to us at Salford. It was really snowing. Obviously, Salford, you played, didn't you? Yep. The Willows, horrible little place. But you loved it to play there. Atmosphere was great. I remember Wigan, all the new players, all the big signings came out and looked, and they started taking pictures. And I knew we're going to win this game. I just looked at them and thought, we're going to win. And
let's make it dirty. Let's make this ugly.
And I think that's what happened with the New Zealand. By all accounts, they actually protested against playing there, not only after the game,
but
before it.
Yeah, they
now
did.
That, from a coach, I think that was quite silly from a New Zealand coaching staff. You don't want that getting out to players because that filters down to your players.
Well, I don't know if it did get out to players. I know they had made some comments before the game.
It will get out. Listen, players know what's going on.
Well, the players would have made the comments themselves.
Course,
they would have gone
they
out
will.
Onto the pitch, seen a few potholes and gone. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I remember Matthew Elliott had a great little saying that he endeared and cultured into us, and we're talking about culture. It was at any park, any field, any day, you turn up to play. Any park, any field, any day, you turn up to play.
I played for 10 years as an amateur at Queensbury. Now, if you don't know Queensbury, it's the coldest place in England.
It's the coldest place on the planet.
One of the coldest places on the planet. And I remember sometimes we'd play teams and it'd be snowing, there'd be ice on the ground, and they'd go into half times into sheds. And they won't come out for half-time. They'd be crying. You know, bear in mind, we're all 10, 11 years old. It was that cold, and we'd stand up there, and back in them days, there were no skins. It was just straight, you're wearing your kit, shorts, and that's it. And
Ewan's in the background, nodding his head. He knows exactly what it's like
freezing.
Up in Queensbury.
We'd beaten the teams before we'd even started.
I played football for school, and 4 foot of snow.
Where is it, football?
Yeah, no one ever lied, 4 foot of snow. And we were like, we can't play in this. Come on, guys. Where's the referee?
Game on.
And the ref said, no, it's fine.
Play on.
Man, they're hard up in Queensbury. They're hard.
We are. So, yeah, I'm used to all that rubbish.
Okay. So, well, actually, so let's look forward to this game at Anfield. Home of Liverpool FC. Good choice.
Yeah, they're trying to move it out a bit, and I like the game to try to be expanded. They've gone a little bit away, but not too far. Yeah. So they've kind
I think that's important.
Yeah, they've kind
it's
of just
like,
a
it's
bit.
Outside of the normal rugby league territory, but not away from the heartland.
The only problem now is now that England haven't got there, I'm not so sure whether we're going to, especially now
we're
Liverpool
going.
Have got
I'm
a
going.
New stand.
I'm going. I think it'll be full house. I think it'll be a full
Do
house.
Do you think it will be?
Yeah, I think it'll be a full house, yeah.
Robbo, you're normally crossed. Getting paid to go, aren't you? No, he won't go. He won't go unless someone's dipping into their pocket. He is
RFL.
A true blue Yorkshireman.
Good blokes.
How do you think New Zealand's going to fare? Obviously, we know Australians going into the final, so just going as favourites. So just how do you think it's New Zealand will fear. What do they need to do?
I don't think they're fearful of them. I think they know what they do. They play against the players week in, week out in the NRL. They know it's a grind game. They've got to keep the composure, not make too many mistakes, and play some football. Get the ball to Sean Johnson. Let him play. Let him do his magic, baby.
Okay, but on that, look, is anyone going to beat the Australian at the Australian game? Do they need to then break it up again and be a little bit more off the cuff?
I had this argument a little bit like what Leon was saying earlier. As opposed to being a poor imitation of somebody, why don't you just be the best that you can be and just play your
Different
own
brand.
Style?
A
just
Super
play
League brand.
Your own style.
A New Zealand brand, an England brand, an Aussie brand, and do the best that you can play.
As opposed to trying to mimic them who are the best in the world, why don't we just try and do his own thing?
Oh, well, New Zealand brand, I reckon, would be power play off the cuff.
I'd play offloads.
Get the ball to Johnson and let him do his magic. Give him the ball, just give him the ball.
He's only
every
good
tackle.
There. He's only good there if you give him the space.
Yeah. Four out of five tackles every set. Give the ball to Johnson.
And just see what happens.
Yeah,
and just hold on to your hands. I mean, he's your go-to man, though, so you might as well have a dig with him. All right, boys. That's us. Thank you very much for being here this evening. It's been a lot of fun. Big thanks to wherever you are listening tonight. If you want to listen again, we'll upload the show on the website at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show in about 10 minutes. So enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter Paul, and thanks again.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1, Wednesday evening from 6.